It's Monday, December 27th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com, Luxor, Las Vegas, and audiblepodcast.com/CES. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. I got a great show for you. I hope everyone had a joyful Christmas. We got a lot to talk about. Lots of action coming up here shortly. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central Podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the very rainy and rain-soaked state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Yes, it is... We're under like flash flood warnings. I'm glad I'm at the top of the hill. It's been like raining every day, cats and dogs, periodically. The beauty of it is I love it because, you know, the rest of the time here in Hawaii, it's absolutely gorgeous. But we get about a month, month and a half of kind of rainy weather. And it's just terrific. It really is. I enjoy it. Some people hate it, but I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum for being on the, being in the part of the crew that likes to hear it rain and thunderstorms. And I think we've had more thunderstorms in the past 5 days than we've had here maybe in the last 10 years. So it's been a lot of fun. But all of you that are new to the show, welcome. Welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content over there. Check out our archive podcasts available via the podcast link on the website. And, really, get subscribed to the show. When you are subscribed to the show, really what that does is that guarantees you that you'll never miss a single episode. And that's important because I bring to you a lot of great content twice a week. The show is produced every Monday and Thursday night. And generally, it's available on iTunes very early Tuesday or Friday morning, available to be picked up. I've got a little bit of audio feedback going right now. I'll reach back here and make an adjustment. I don't know where that's coming from. I'm getting a little bit of a headset. So we're trying something new tonight on the stream as well, and I'm hoping that the stream holds. But let me make this quick audio adjustment. And hopefully that's much better. That would have drove me crazy throughout the entire show, and I don't want to deal with that. What it was just a little bit of overdriving in the headset. But let's talk here a little bit, of course, about the Ohana. Those of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show, thanks for being here and thanks for staying subscribed. And I hope everyone had a wonderful Christmas, or if you don't celebrate Christmas, if you had a nice holiday. But it was great here in the Cochran household. Really, we kind of took it easy during the holiday and really didn't do a lot. Watched some TV, and of course, the kids did the standard open the presents thing. I'm still enjoying having Natalie here with us, my daughter from Florida. She's having a great time. But predominantly in the back of my mind is what's coming next week, and we'll talk about that here in a second. So another thing you can do to stay abreast of the show is sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything I'm going to talk about today. That gets sent out immediately following the show, gets dropped into your inbox. We'll have all the links to all of the different content that's out there. So, you know, get subscribed and follow along with the newsletter, and that'll come to you twice a week. Of course, we want to encourage you to watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku or on Boxy. And I think here maybe next week we'll be up on Vudu if everything goes right with what we're hearing is coming out from them. And tonight, of course, we're streaming live up on Ustream. And what I'm doing tonight is I'm pushing at a higher bit rate and a little higher frame rate size, just as a test to see how much really the bandwidth can support it. You know, typically the show is has a medium following this time of year because of the time of night that the show is produced. So if the show's choppy, I apologize. just let me, I know one guy in the chat said it was just a little bit choppy, just let me know. And there's really no way to crank it down without shutting down the stream right now, so we'll go the whole show with this tonight, but it's just one of the things we're going to have to work out the test. So, of course, I want to give a warm thank you to our sponsor, GoDaddy.com, longtime sponsor here at the show, and really GoDaddy is what really keeps the lights on in this house and in this studio. And your longtime support of GoDaddy is much appreciated. As a matter of fact, I got a tweet from someone the other day. They saved some money on a .com renewal by using promo code COMSALE. Of course, you can save money on .coms by using COMSALE2 as a promo code as well. And, of course, I got a whole host of other codes over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And really, there's a code there for everyone. And I know many of you picked up domain names. You picked up hosting accounts for a loved one over the holidays. But we're heading into a new year, and it's a time for a new beginning and a fresh start. So feel free to go over to GoDaddy and start afresh and start something new. It's an exciting time, and we're going to talk about some opportunities we're going to have here at the show come the new year. And I'm telling you exactly what I'm looking for some new site or for some new show launches here at GNC. Just on a more sad note, but we kind of knew it was coming. On Christmas Eve, just before midnight Eastern Standard Time, my grandmother and my dad's side passed away. I talked to my grandfather, and based on the timing of the funeral and everything, I'm not going to be going back for the funeral, and kind of expressed my regrets to him for that, and we talked quite a little while. She was 90 years old and had Alzheimer's, she's had Alzheimer's for a very long time. And it's been a couple of years since she's actually recognized who I am. She knew the immediate, her son and daughters, but that was kind of the extent of it. But I'm sure her and my dad are up there having a party. And if I know her, she's probably got my dad by the ear and is, making him clean his room. She's was very much a stickler when it came to a clean house, had the best gravy and noodles a man could ever eat. I was fortunate enough that my mother was able to, my wife was able to get the recipe and learn it the right way and make it with her 3 or 4 times. I remember when we were first married, we would go down to Zephyr Hills in Florida where they would go and basically stay away from the cold weather. And she always took her pickles and she always added a 2 or 3 cups of sugar in a pickle jar and let that kind of ferment for a week or so. And the pickles would be amazing with that extra sugar in there. And, you know, just the small things you remember, even though they lived over an hour away from where I grew up, still an integral part of my family. And I'll be definitely talking with my grandfather on a more regular basis now. And I know he's going to be a lot lonely, it's going to be lonely. And, but he's 90 as well and in really good health. So my thoughts and prayers are with my family members back in Michigan. Of course, the situation, my cousin continues. But anyway, that's enough on that. I just wanted to update you guys. Some of you had sent me emails and asked. But I appreciate all the well wishes and everything. It is appreciated. Well, the kids were surprised with the Xbox, and they got the Kinect. And needless to say, that's been the main attraction for the last really 2 days, and pretty happy with that. So they've been enjoying it. We've kind of, since school's out, we've been letting have them a little extra free reign. But, you know, holidays are the time where you're not supposed to be tired, right? I swear I've just been, like, falling out every evening from exhaustion. But I'm trying to catch up, keep some extra sleep because of what's coming next week. And we're heading out. Of course, I'll be packing up and ready to go to Luxor on Sunday, flying out of here out of Honolulu and get into the hotel late in the afternoon Sunday, get checked in and get ready for the festivities that are going to be going on at CES. But got the pack out ready. It's going to go to FedEx on Wednesday. I think the count was 15 boxes is what I have. And I think my grand total for my FedEx bill was like $1,300 to get it out of here, $1,300 to get it home, plus any other stuff we collect there. So it's quite the collection. I'm going to put together a little video documentary about what it is it's we're taking and the pack out, kind of give you guys an insider look into what it takes to cover the show and the amount of gear. It's on an insane level. It really, really is. And we're looking forward to connecting with our contacts at CES, the CEA organization, and having us get in and get set up on Monday. And then probably we'll be doing some test stuff on Tuesday, doing some live stream testing and making sure the cameras are right. And we might even do a couple of short episodes on Tuesday. So we'll let you know on that on Twitter, of course. But all the action is going to be here at geeknewscentral.com. All next week, the live stream phase will be up. And so if we're not running live content during the show, and we're going to be running about 10 hours a day live, and then we're going to put a whole bunch of stuff on repeat, stuff that we've collected on the floor, stuff that we've collected at nighttime events. It's going to be a hodgepodge of a lot of stuff. So you're going to want to tune in as much as possible because you're going to, it's just going to be a huge amount of content. And we're really excited to be able to bring it to you. So 24 hours a day, if the stream will support it and Ustream doesn't fail us and go down, we'll be up in 720p the whole time, pushing in high def. And the bandwidth pipe at the CES show floor will support it. I paid $6,000 for 4 days worth of internet. So if that tells you anything about the cost of doing business in Vegas at a trade show, that will right there. I think $400 is the was the electricity bill to run 24/7 electricity with all the stuff that we've got going on. And, of course, a huge team. A total of 6 members from Tech Podcast Network. We've got Andy McCaskey from SDR News, Jeffrey Powers from GeekDesign.com. We've got Court myself here at Geek News Central. We got SB Larson, the Mr. Netcast. We have Carl Sussman from West Side Gadget Guy. And we have Tom Newman from the Fogview Podcast. So 6 members from TPN. Plus, we're going to have a whole team of people in the backside. Of course, Angela Mandato from Raw Voice is going to be there doing business stuff. We're going to have Kara. She's kind of our, she calls herself the head sheep herder. So she's the one who's going to keep us going all the places. Jack, the camera guy and TriCast operator. And then a whole bunch of other support people. At this point, I've kind of lost my train of thought on who all those folks are going to be. Got the list, and I feel bad for not having it in front of me. But a great group of people. We've been working on this for 3.5 to 4 months. It is going to be a show of content and pushing stuff to you guys unlike on any level we have ever done before. And the beauty about it is, you know, we talk the talk about going to the show every year, and what we do is about the second day, we don't have enough bodies to keep filling content into the websites because we're so far behind in posting stuff. This year, you're going to get it all live, plus you're going to get all the content shoveled at you via podcast style after the show. So you're going to be able to watch it right when it's happening. At the same time, you're going to know this stuff is going to be archived and it's going to be available for download because we know all of you are going to be back at work and you're not going to be able to watch us all the time, but going to be plenty of opportunity. I promise you, we've got a lot of cool companies we're going to talk to. Huge number of companies fighting for the 160 live video spots that we're going to have. And I'm excited. I really, really am. Of course, Luxor.com or Luxor Las Vegas is one of our sponsors out there. And we're excited about checking out everything the Luxor has to offer. We'll be talking more about that, about the amenities and what the hotel's like and the rooms and the whole nine yards. But we do know one thing. They got the best deals going on the Vegas Strip. So if you're looking for a great hotel at a great price, head over to geeknewscentral.com. You find the link there to Luxor. Book your next stay in Las Vegas at Luxor Las Vegas. And it's going to be a great time and a great time for you as well. And, of course, one of our other key line sponsors is Audible Podcasts or Audible. And, of course, you know, as I've been listening to a new audiobook on net neutrality, and it's been able to be one of those things where when I'm driving around, I can plug this thing in and listen, or late at night when I'm getting ready to go to bed, I can listen for 30, 45 minutes of the audiobook. And it's just cool to lay your head back, close your eyes, and just listen. It's really, really cool and be able to absorb it. And it's like theater almost, because they've got professional speakers that read the books, and they're not even reading. It's almost like acting the books out. But to get a free trial, go to audiblepodcast.com/CES. Go over there and get a free 14-day trial on us. Check it out. Get a free book. try it. Get it into your iPad, get it into your iPhone, and gosh. And I think you'll enjoy it. I think you really, really will. Okay, let me go ahead here and look at the time. Let me look at the schedule. And of course, if you're new to the show, man, you're coming in at a great time because we're going to have nonstop content for you over the next week to 10 days to the point where it's going to be almost too much. The regular show, I have one regular show left this year, and that's going to be my kind of my wrap-up show. All the video gear's gone. So I don't know if I'm going to be doing it via webcam or what it's going to be, but we'll have some semblance of a video show on Thursday. It's not going to be using the pro cameras or anything like that. The TriCaster will be shipped. So it's mostly going to be an audio, you know, talking about my reflections on the past year and what's coming up next. And then there will be no regular GNC schedule next week. Okay. And we'll be back on the regular schedule. Probably, well, I'll probably do a show the last night I'm in Vegas, do a short kind of a wrap up show because I don't fly out until Tuesday the 11th. So I'll probably do some sort of a quick wrap-up show Monday the 10th. It won't be long because we're going to be just, you know, jamming so much stuff at you anyway. But make sure you get subscribed to the special media event feed at Geek News Central. That's where all that content is going to get dumped. We're not going to dump it down the audio or video podcast feed. It's coming via the special media event feed at Geek News Central. Get subscribed via iTunes, and that way you'll guarantee that you're not going to miss anything. Also, you can go over to tpn.tv as well. There's a feed over there if you want to subscribe. Matter of fact, there's 14 episodes of content already in there, stuff that Andy McCaskey's been putting together, kind of a countdown to CES. So check that out at tpn.tv as well. Okay, let me go ahead here and let's get into the content, right? Enough yakking about my stuff. Anyway, I hope everyone had a happy holidays. And, one last thing. I'm still going to launch 5 shows. I'm looking, the first two I want to watch is a mobile show and a gadget show. Okay, I'm looking for someone specifically to focus on gadgets and one person to specifically focus on mobile. If you want to bring a show or do a show here at Geek News Central, those are the two categories I really want to launch first. So if you feel you got it in you and you can do at least an episode every week, at a minimum one and preferably two, we want you on board. Send me an email why you would make a good candidate to be the mobile show or gadget show host for these first two shows that I want to launch in 11. So just keep me advised on that. Of course, geeknewscentral.com/offers/insider. Of course, you can get Ohanaware at the cafepress.com website at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Okay, so I think I got all the sponsors mentioned. You got all my crap talked about here. So let's go ahead and get into the tech. I really am feeling a lot better, but this cough, anyone got a cure for like one of these persistent coughs that just refuses to go away? If you do, man, send me your suggestions, because at this point, I'm trying everything in the book to knock this out. Well, the big news, of course, everyone is trying to get the scoop on what's going on, and I'm not really focused on the scoops and what's happening. I want to bring you cool stuff. And I'm going to let a lot of the other sites, you know, talk about the mainstream companies. The folks over at Engadget have got a good article up today about what LG is bringing on board. Looks like LG is going to be unveiling a mobile 3D TV at CES. So we're trying real hard to get a LG rep into the booth and have him on the stream. The bigger the company, the harder they are to schedule. The smaller the company, the more they want to schedule. And you know, an average email chain to get to a big company is about 20 emails. A small company's 3. But this is kind of cool. A little mobile 3D TV. And, you know, it's going to be interesting how this is going to turn out. But this is kind of a new entrance into the mobile digital TV space. But really, let me ask the question. Isn't 3D still kind of overrated? There's hardly any 3D content. So is this really that effective? Is this going to be that big? I don't know. What do you guys think? Love to hear your feedback. If you got feedback on today's show, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline, of course, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 619-342-7365. Panasonic is also introducing a new camera. And I thought this is kind of cool because here's what they've done. You know, the cameras of today are changing. And, you know, many folks are using their big body DSLR cameras to do video. So essentially what Panasonic has done is that they have kind of done a hybrid here. And this is a basically a kind of like a still camera that has been adapted to do a lot of movie functions, but it's small, and I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on one of these, and we'll see. But with the Panasonic has, you know, introduced this new AG-AF100 camera, and they haven't talked about how much the price is going to be yet, but this is a cool one that I'm going to really work hard to get my hands on at the show and see what this likes. But if any of you are really want to be filmmakers, this might be the product to pick up. So anyway, I'll see if we can get our hands on it, and we'll let you know what we think about it. Big rumor about Google TV, and then Google TV being basically Google telling Logitech and Sony, hey, hold up the horses on distributing any more sets. But that rumor has proven to be untrue. Logitech is saying that Google has not asked them to halt Google TV production, especially with their, you know, with their unit that they've had on the market for a while. So the Logitech review is still available, although they didn't come out and say completely that they're not going to be producing any, but it kind of sounded like their production was being slowed down. And basically the statement on their blog said, all is well with Logitech review, and that Logitech will be out in force at CES to demonstrate how Google TV is transforming the TV watching experience. Hey, Google, it's not transforming crap until we get the API out so that people that want to watch this show like they do on the Roku and the Boxy can watch on that device, you know, through an app that we have on there. It's not complete. It's not transforming. I'm going to be tough on these folks. I really, really am. So we'll see. Hey, something I thought was really cool today, and this was a satellite launch. It was from Utilisat KA Satellite has been launched, and they're doing something that looks to be similar to what Viasat here is going to do here in the spring in the United States. They've launched a new satellite that has a lot of spot beams, and what that does is usually when there's a variety of different satellites, but some satellites have a big beam that looks over the entire, you know, a segment of the country, or they have a couple of spots that cover a big, huge area. Or there's a satellite that has many, 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 many little spot beams. And these spot beams may cover a region of a couple of hundred miles, maybe, or maybe even smaller than that. Well, what they've done here is this is a new satellite that's going to be used for internet service, where you're going to, subscribers are going to be able to get to 10 megs down and up to 4 megs up. But here's the thing that's a little bit hokey about what Utilisat is going to do. They're only going to have 900 megs per second available per beam. Now, it doesn't take a lot of subscribers to all of a sudden eat up that 10 meg down, 4 meg up. And it can be absolutely guaranteed that they're not just going to sell, you know, 90 subscriptions per beam. And it doesn't work that way. That's you know, probably $1.5 billion satellite. And it's going to be probably, you know, so there's going to be this trade-off they're going to do. So, you know, maybe when everyone's sleeping, you'll get great speed like that. So I think, you know, when peak time, I think the speed's going to be a little bit slower. But I'm curious to see how, and I'll have to do some research and see what Viasat is going to be advertising on a per beam availability, you know, for their specific spot beam satellite that they're going to be launching for commercial use. So it's going to be curious to see what they do. But this Utilisat in the KA band is in orbit, and we'll see how the health of the spacecraft is going to be when they get it checked out. Hey, the guys over at Geek News Central, the writers of their bin, man, they've been knocking them out. And we've had some great response to some of the app articles that have been put up recently. I don't tell the writers at all what to write about. Sometimes I say, hey, this is a topic that might be good to cover, but maybe that's once a month. And I let the folks pick their own their own articles to review. And this Fire Field Recorder app for the iPod, iPhone, and iPad, man, it's got a lot of traction today. And this was an article that Trucker Tom did, and it's called Field Recorder is an audio recording application for making high quality audio recordings on the iOS operating system for $5.99. And basically it's a nice app. So he does list some shortcomings of it, primarily around noise levels and stuff when he's trying to do some recordings on when he's driving. But some good articles here are good feedback as well in the comment section. But Trucker Tom there hit the ball out of the ballpark for the number of folks that were following this particular app. So good job on that. But definitely worth a check out over at Geek News Central. Another great article that has gotten some good traffic is one that was posted by Alan, another one of our writers at Geek News Central, and he talked about some tips for your new gifts. And, you know, this is the time of year where, you know, we've all gotten some new gadgets, maybe. And so he's got a list of tips for your gifts, and includes free games for your computer, some programs, how to set up and get to know your PC, some apps for your Windows, talking about your Mac and getting it set up, or possible new camera and Android, talking about iPhone, iPad, or iTouch. So a little bit of everything here, some great links to a variety of websites that have, you know, that you're all well informed on. So I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. And it's, you know, these are great tips for you for your new gifts that you've gotten for Christmas. Good article making the rounds today. And this was on TechCrunch, was on Gizmodo, was on Engadget. Everyone seemed to pick it up. Essentially on, I'm going to destroy, because I set the account up today. It's called Quora, Q-U-O-R-A, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. But Quora is a new website that's gaining a lot of traction. Rob Greenlee sent me an invite to it, and I signed up. And basically, you post a question, and then people answer the question. It's kind of like, almost like what Yahoo tried to do with their questions that really never gained much traction. But this one seems to be doing real well. But a question that was posted on the Quora website was, how much did it cost AOL to distribute all those CDs back in the 90s? Now, if you're like me, you had stacks of them, right? I was getting 4 or 5 a day, all with a little different address. You know, it just was nuts how many we were getting. But the Steve Case kind of responded to that particular question. And he basically said that they were trying to target their budget to have the cost to gain a new subscriber to be 10% of the lifetime cost of a basic lifetime earnings of a subscriber. So they figured the average AOL customer had an average account lifetime that would equivalent to be about $350 in earnings. But so they spent about $35 to acquire a new subscriber. Well, they spent hundreds on me and the number of CDs they sent. But the estimate is that they spent $300 million sending CDs to people like me to try to get them to subscribe to AOL. I use these things like Frisbees. And I remember having like Geek Wars with my buddies when I was still in the military. We, you know, these things were like Frisbees. That's, you know, how many we got. But, you know, they achieved some amazing growth rates for those that bought the stock early, considering that in 1992, they had 200,000 subscribers when they went public. And then a decade later, they had 25 million. So that was, you know, a pretty effective way to gain subscribers. And where are they today? Well, you know, the AOL is all of us hated for the most part. Doesn't exist anymore. But anyway, if you ever wanted to know, that's about what they spent. Very cool iPad app helps disabled kids speak, and it's called the Verbal Victor app. It allows parents and caregivers to record phrases that are played back when the disabled person presses the corresponding button. The $10 app uses familiar voices and not on-the-fly generated robot voices. Kids are appear to be more comfortable with using it to express themselves. This is an app that's not available in the App Store yet. Some of the sites have gotten review units. One thing we're going to be focusing on CES is because we're really starting to go into the time when we've got a boomer generation that's going to be starting to retire or has started to retire. So we're going to be focusing on some of the stuff we covered at CES to on older generation, on some of the services that are going to be available out there. This is a great one for disabled folks. So we're going to have some of those types of companies in to talk about some of their wares as well. So I'm excited to see this particular app coming available and just another great utilization of the iPad. Well, China has been outed. They have a picture of a Shenyang J-15 flying shark. It was a copy of the Russian Su-33 has been released, and this is China's version of the stealth fighter. I don't think they wanted this particular picture to get out, but it has been made available via Aviation Week. And here's the interesting thing. The guy that took this picture, what you can see he's hanging out like in the woods somewhere, and you can see there's brush all around this. But the Chinese have got their own stealth fighter. And I don't know. And looking at the image of it, it doesn't look too stealthy, but it seems to use, it appears to use a Russian 117S engine. This is what Aviation Week is reporting. And it does look a little bit in shape and size to the Raptor, but it's definitely a lot larger. I'm going to tell you something. I saw the Raptor fly at an air show at Marine Corps Base Hawaii this summer. All I can say is money well spent. What a machine. Oh, my God. If you ever get a chance to go to an air show where there's a Raptor's going to fly, you will be very proud to have footed that expenditure within the tax budget. What an amazing aircraft. Absolutely amazing. Okay, let's talk about the TSA. Over at lifehacker.com, there's a TSA status site that they've outed that tells you whether your airport uses their body scanners. And so here's an example. MSP, I don't know what airport that is. All airlines, scanners installed but not installed. It's interesting. SEA, I guess that's SeaTac. Scanners installed but not in use. Left lane of northernmost checkpoint has been activated. SLC, I don't. So anyway, goes through the different airports and talks about the back scan, the body scanners. So if you are interested in seeing which airports do or do not have the scanners, if you're going to be flying, so you could have used this before the holidays, right? I'm going to have this link up in the show notes to lifehacker.com. All right, Paul Golligan has put out his 2011 predictions. You know, this is a big thing, it seems, every year. Folks like to do this, and I don't think I've ever put out any type of a prediction list. I do something on the show, kind of my version of it live. I don't think I've done a blog post, but Paul's got something up here about talking about his last year predictions. He said that they're, last year, his predictions were there'd be no competitor to the iPhone. And he says that Android still isn't a real competitor. I would tend to disagree, Paul. I think Android is definitely a competitor against the iPhone. Windows Phone 7 is not. So I don't agree with your assessment that iPhone does not have a competitor yet. He says, app stores will become the go-to model for everyone. I kind of agree with that. The app model is obviously where it's all at. Talking about the cable companies and how they're grasping to stay relevant. Talk about Hulu and some other stuff here. But let me go into his 2011 prediction. He says, the Verizon iPhone will do bigger business than expected and shed some serious light on just how pathetic of a company AT&T really is. He says, a second generation iPad will bring us a very reduced rate on the first gen iPad, bringing prices closer to the Amazon Kindle. He says he's predicting something massive from Microsoft coming to save Microsoft. I don't know about that one or not. He says that you're going to see a big push from YouTube for video rentals, live streaming, and cross-platform consumption. I do think that YouTube is going to be pushing the live streaming. I just don't know if it's going to be that soon. If it is, game changer. Social media will quickly move from buzzworthy catchphrase to reality of online business. And I think there's a lot of reality missing to online business. And, you know, I got to thinking, I was actually driving somewhere this morning, and I heard a commentary on a terrestrial radio station talking about a business model. And I got to thinking, will that work within the new media space? And I called our Jeff, who is our content director. I said, do you think this particular model will work within the new media space? And I don't want to say it out loud because I'm going to give away my idea. And he says, I like it. And he said it, he thought a little more. He said, I like it. I like it a lot. I like it. I said, okay, let's sleep on this for a couple of days. So I kind of had this epiphany, I guess, if you would call, of a way to, it's something I think if we're able to implement correctly, will really change the face of how new media creators can get paid. And I'm really excited about trying to implement it. And I can't say any more than that because it's such a doggone good idea that I don't want to spill the beans. But, you know, stuff that's out there is, you know, you get a trigger, something tells you, you know, you read something or you hear something and it sets off an idea in your brain. You know, and it's just like anything else. You throw stuff at the wall until something sticks, and then, you know, it's, you know, and this way business works. And it may be something that'll be fizzle. But at the moment, I think it's what I've been thinking about is a good idea. And we'll probably be bringing the idea to a few choice folks and saying, what do you think about this? Is this a good idea or not? And we'll get some feedback, get a reality check from some listeners that we trust and also some of our team members. But anyway, well, enough on that. I keep moving on here. Gonna change gears. I mean, I'm gonna cough in your ear. It's almost funny. Okay, let's talk a little bit here about the problem with identity proofing. Now, from time to time, I have to send do a money transfer, and either it's, you know, if I've hired someone to write some code that's overseas. It's not like I can PayPal them money because they usually have no way to get it out. So it's usually I have to do a money transfer or a money wire. And it's always a pain. You know, doing a money wire is you know, it's not the way to do business, but it is. But Phil Winley had an experience where he was trying to wire some money to a company in London. And it goes through the process that he had to deal with his bank and proving who he was and basically all kinds of verifications. And it was all centered around his cell phone. And here's the thing that was crazy. He went through like five different steps and five different verifications through his phone. Not talking to nobody, just getting sent text messages, and he had to respond to stuff. And here's the question. How, you know, phones can be stolen. And usually there's information in phones, there's maybe emails, people maybe have an account number or something like that. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me to have all this stuff being validated through a cell phone. It kind of scares me. But anyway, what even after he went through all this process, his account got locked out because he did one thing wrong. He made, you know, answered one thing wrong on the identity portion. And then he tried to call in and went through like eight steps with the account client. And basically, it boiled down to the point where he actually has to go into the bank, show his ID, prove that who he says he is to do a $5,000 bank transfer. If this was my bank, I would be like, write me a cashier's check to please close my account. It's supposed to be easier in the digital world. Yes, there's security issues, but that's why we have FDIC insurance. That's why, you know, there's all these, there's checks and balances that are in place. And, you know, nothing's perfect, but, just read this and ask me or tell me if you'd still be banking with this company. If they made you, maybe you would feel good about the process they put him through, but, who has the time to go to the bank anymore? You know, if they can't identify me over the phone with based upon what's in my account and the information that I have on file, there's something wrong. There really, really is. And maybe I'm, you know, being altruistic on this, but I just don't, and I think when you're doing banking today, it's got to be able to, who wants to go to the bank? Not me. I don't have time. All right, Apple's being sued, surprise, over a claim that the applications that the company is approving for the iPhone and iPad is transmitting users' personal information to advertising networks. If you don't think this isn't happening, you know, you better think again. This is happening all the time. You're buying apps out there, and it's basically asking, it shows you terms of service that you never read through, that you're approving, and the next thing you know, it's calling home to mama and sending all the information about you back to them. I've actually had an app try to connect me to Facebook today that says, we're going to connect to your Facebook account and pull stuff all the time. I was like, no, you're not. You're going to do that? Sorry, I'm not playing that game. So anyway, the complaint seeks a class action or group status lawsuit. Was filed in December 23rd in federal court in San Jose, California. And they're going after Apple for basically backfeeding our personal information to third parties, which is then sold to advertisers or used to target advertising to you. A great story has made the rounds today about what happened with RIM. Of course, RIM is the company behind BlackBerry. When Apple announced unveiled the iPhone in 2007, the backstory goes that RIM went into like emergency meetings. They called all hands meetings. They were basically calling Apple out, saying that they were lying, that there was no way that this device could do what they were claiming it was going to be with the battery life and so forth. And I guess this happened at Microsoft too. But the focus of the story is that RIM was completely blown away and ultimately basically lost severe ground and continued to lose more ground on the mobile market because they just weren't forward enough thinking to think out of the box to, you know, you really think where they, what the iPhone brought to the market and how it's changed the mobile market. It's just a little kind of a background, you know, wouldn't you just love to have been a fly on the wall and able to actually hear those conversations. Can you imagine if Steve Jobs could have been there and just listening and grinning from ear to ear? Now, don't get me wrong. We all know that everyone's, you know, working real hard to compete right now, but that was back in 2007. And how many iterations is the iPhone we're on now? 3, headed to 4? Very hard to catch up. Hey, this is big. This is big news. The Department of Energy has reopened some rare earth mines. And basically, this is a mine where they're able to pull precious metals out. And basically, China has said that they feel that they're not going to have enough of these rare metals and different types of materials to export. And they are going to do whatever they can to support internally first. If they have anything left over, then they'll sell it on the open market. And this has gotten the Department of Energy's attention in a big, big way. Nothing like being held hostage by the Chinese for raw goods, right? You know, didn't it used to be America that was the iron, you know, we were the ones pulling the most iron ore out of the ground? But the DOE is stressing. They say that the DOD is taking several steps to make sure that there's a steady domestic supply, and but they feel it's going to take a couple of years to ramp things up. So we kind of hold on and hope the Chinese don't cut us off. We did talk about the Chinese having a stealth fighter. Okay. Remember, red communist Chinese. Another report out that the Stuxnet worm probably destroyed as many as 10,000 of Iran's 100,000 centrifuges. Too bad it didn't destroy 100,000 of them, to be all honest with you, but it made them overspeed just enough to cause these things to, I guess, burn up. But in the article here that is over on arstechnica.com, the unnamed government official told ISIS at the nominal frequency of the IR-1 centrifuge at Natanz was 1,064 hertz, but Iran kept the actual frequency of the centrifuges lower to reduce breakage. According to another source, Iran often ran its centrifuges at 1,007 hertz, so this worm kicked it up to whatever speed and then caused these things to burn out. So it appears that the worm instructed the centrifuge to increase as high as 1,410 hertz and for a short period and then bring it back down in order to try to not raise suspicion of what was going on. But a lot of information here that's very intriguing. And I know almost nothing about centrifuges, but obviously if something's spinning and you overspeed it, it definitely causes issue. But 10,000 of 100,000 centrifuges were destroyed. I wish it would have been 100,000, but instead it set their nuclear program back 2 years. Only time will tell. All right, let's talk about net neutrality just a little bit. And again, if you got comments on tonight's show, geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. If you've got a complaint, there's the informal complaint, very easy to file via the FCC website, and the formal complaint, that will cost you $200 to file, and might be a little bit difficult because you have to appear via court and do some sort of procedural appearance. So anyway, informal is going to be the way to go. And I encourage all of you, if you are worried about this net neutrality thing and you think you are being abused by your internet service provider or your mobile company, start filling out those informal FCC reports. Good article in Business Week. They're saying that Microsoft's iPad competitor faces a long odds in Vegas. They're saying that with Steve Ballmer is going to unveil the new software for tablets at the CES show, he's saying that this company is going to have challenges in competing with Apple's iPad. What did I see at all the parties I went to at Christmas? iPads. I saw nothing else. I saw no Galaxies. I saw nothing. Only iPads. So that just tells you, and I saw a lot of them, not just a few, a lot. And everyone had them up. They're playing games. They were doing stuff. They were showing them off. They were, you know, so it is definitely the device of the year, really. Well, if you're a Time Warner customer and you have been peer-to-peering down adult material, Time Warner Cable has refused to turn over customer data accused by Larry Flint Publishing, if you guys know what magazine he does, of pirating one of the company's films, according to their attorney. They filed a lawsuit of over 4,000 John Does, and basically Time Warner says, oh, we'll give you 10 a month. So this is a, if you're a Time Warner user, this is a, you know, Time Warner can be your friend at this point if you're doing peer-to-peer stuff. So lots of stuff happening in that front with the judges, basically, you know, some judges saying, hey, throwing out the 20,000 request and saying you got to file these individually. So a lot of stuff going on in that front. We'll see where 2011 takes us. I'll be honest. These Zynga games, Farmville, and so forth, I really don't get it. If you play them, I'm cool with that. But I guess the new rage right now is Cityville. And it's bigger on Facebook than Farmville. Apparently, Cityville had, and you guys played this? What? Please, please, please call into the show. Get on, pick up the phone, 619-342-7365. I want to hear what this is all about. Because 16.8 million people are daily active users on Cityville as compared to 16.4 million on Farmville. Cityville is also ahead of the 61.7. What? Well, I guess they have a total of 61.7 million users. That is amazing to me. I guess it's a virtual reality game. You build a city. I'm sorry. I don't have enough time. How do people have time to do that? Out of Israel, news out of Israel, archaeologists said that on today that they may have found the earliest evidence yet for the existence of modern man. And at Tel Aviv University, has said that they found teeth in a cave that they estimate are 400,000 years old. This is about twice. Basically, the last recorded known verified Homo sapien was about 200,000 years. So this is huge. And they show a picture of the tooth in the article. Now, there is some skepticism going on. He says, based on the evidence I've cited, it's very tenuous and frankly rather remote possibility. He said the remains are more likely related to modern man's ancient relatives versus human. Okay. And that teeth are very unreliable. Now, they need to find a skull, they say, which would make it a more definitive identity of the species. So we'll see what they find. But maybe we've been around a lot longer than what we thought. Hey, Ford is going to be using its expand its use of gas saving technology, and I don't know if I agree with this. Ford said on Monday today that it plans to include its fuel saving auto start stop technology. Now, any of you that have a basically one of these green cars that are hybrids, you come up to a corner, you're at a red light. The motor shuts down and you do a electric assist to get off the start line when the light turns green. But what they're going to do is they're going to implement this into regular automobiles. In other words, you're going to be sitting there in your gas-powered car with no green technology, and they're going to shut the motor off when you're sitting still. And then when you get ready to step on the gas, they're going to start the motor up. What do you think about that? The company plans to install in cars, crossovers, and sports utility vehicles sold in North America starting in 2012. Eventually, Ford will install the technology in vehicles sold worldwide. I'm going to be asking. We're going to spend about 20 to 25 minutes with Ford during our live broadcast on Friday morning. I believe 10 a.m. is when they're scheduled Pacific time. So this is a question I'm going to be asking them about this, because that makes me a little bit leery having, you know, how long does it take you to start your car? You know, 4 or 5 seconds? Can you imagine being in New York and not stepping on the gas and moving right away and the guy behind you blowing on the horn? I just don't see how this is going to work and have the responsiveness you need. Or what if, you know, you need to get out of the way and your car's not running? I don't know. I understand it with the hybrids, because the electric motor engages immediately and moves you. So time will tell on this. All right, Canadian music collection site demanding payment for 30-second song previews. So we went through this here in the United States, but this is now being litigated in Canada. They want some money. If you basically, anytime you play a preview of a song and it's 30 seconds, they say, hey, that's a performance. The company that's selling the music needs to pay the royalty on that. Well, we'll see how far that one goes. Swedish officials complained to the United States that Hollywood pushed the IPRED. I guess this is a rule, the anti-piracy law in Sweden, saying that the law did more harm than good. Swedish police officials are complaining that the implementation of IPRD has made it more difficult to solve crimes. Swedish internet service providers are saying that users' information related to IP numbers for a shorter period time following the IPRED legislation. They're saying that people are doing more encryption. They're using more third-party services to hide their IP. So this is kind of interesting. And the Swedish officials have made this known to U.S. officials, and they're not real happy about it. Of course, the United States was partially responsible, along with the MPAA, was responsible for pushing this legislation, this IPRED, anti-piracy legislation in Sweden. So any of our, getting listeners, maybe Carl, I'll ask SBM, sorry, and maybe he can fill me in what's going on with this, because I think he's got the pulse of what's going on over there. All right. How many of you are big Apple fanboys? Okay. Well, if you go to store. micgadget.com, micgadget.com. They're selling, matter of fact, they were selling on eBay until eBay killed the auctions, but they're selling a Steve Jobs, well, I won't call it an action figure, but it's Steve Jobs standing on a little pedestal holding an iPad. And Apple isn't real happy about their CEO. It shows Steve Jobs with a big head. I don't know if it's got if it's one of those bobbleheads or not. But if you want to own a Steve Jobs figure, or I don't know what you call these things, they've got them at store.micgadget.com. Next article up is TSA is punishing a pilot for videotaping security problems at airports. Apparently, a pilot with a major airline recorded a video about TSA security procedures, and the government has went after him in a big way. He was a flight deck officer. In other words, one of these pilots was authorized to carry a gun. He's been stripped of his weapon. He's been stripped of his pilot concealed carry permit. He's been informed that TSA is reviewing the situation for possible disciplinary actions. And he put this video up on YouTube. And basically, the airline that he works for, and they don't say which, asked him to take it down. He did. But the government's got an axe to grind with this guy. And he's just trying to point out, hey, you guys got issues. And but they're going to punish him for it. So that's your government at work. All right, over on Wired Science, gigantic storm with huge tail erupts on Saturn. This thing's massive. I'll have this link up in the show notes. You can check it out and check the picture out. Link will be in the show notes. And a great article on Wired. And I think this is really hits the mark here. Geek culture, time to die. In other words, some of us were considered nerds and geeks. Now, yours truly considers him still a geek and maybe a little bit of a nerd. Okay, that's okay. It's a badge of honor. But they're saying that geek culture may be dying because everyone's a geek these days. I don't know about that per se, but he says that the geek culture can be renewed. And this individual has a plan for reviving geek culture. A pretty good article here on Wired. Link will be up in the show notes. But should we get our re-get our geek back on? Is that what we need to do? Well, in a setback, well, that's it. Move on to the next story. I need to have a better transition from article to article, right? All right, let me look at the time. All right, we're okay. An Indian satellite failed shortly after launch on Saturday. It blew up 45 seconds after takeoff. Apparently, one of the strap-on rockets to come unstrapped or something. But the billion-dollar GSAT at 5P communication satellite, of course, went up in smokes with it. So, you know, that happens. Amazon.com is patenting an idea to pre-exchange gifts. You know, you order a gift for your family or friend, and they're patenting an idea where if you inform your friend or family member the gift they're getting and they don't like it, they can exchange it before it ever ships from Amazon. How many of you regifted this year? We didn't regift anything, but I know we got some stuff that came to us that we think was regifted. We don't care. It happens all the time, but how many of you regift? Sometimes you get that stuff that you're like, I don't need it. We kind of try not to do it at all. I can't say that we haven't ever, but, you know, there's just some stuff you just don't need. I don't need my 150th pot holder or something to that effect. If it's handmade, we'll keep it. But, you know, let's be real. All right. 'Twas the shuttle's last Christmas. And I'm not going to read this because this was more appropriate to before Christmas. But let me give you just a little bit of a sample here and I'll let you guys go back and read it. 'Twas the shuttle's last Christmas and our spirits were low, for the program was ending and soon we'd all go. We'd processed the shuttles with infinite care and followed each mission as if we were there. We made effort to achieve all our goals. We offered our talents, our hearts, and our soul. Our work was much more than a meager career. 'Twas an honor and privilege beyond all compare. As this marvel of science was applauded worldwide, we looked on each shuttle with unfettered pride. Columbia, Challenger, Discovery, and then Atlantis, Endeavor all ferried brave men and women to realms past the confines of Earth, uncovering knowledge of infinite worth. We rejoice with each mission's success, and we grieve for the losses too painful for us to conceive. And over the years, something wonders took place. We became kindred spirits, united by space. And so as we part, I will bear a great loss and hope in the future our paths again cross. But until then, my friend, this wish I confide. Happy Christmas to all. We had a great ride. I had to read the whole thing. It just started out to be too good. Isn't that cool? That was written by a Terry Seibel at NASA, and kind of a cool rendition of "'Twas the Shuttle's Last Christmas." So I have the link up in the show notes for you. All right, build your own Android TV kit coming from Vidatonic at CES. We're going to definitely try to get those guys on. I am them today saying, hey, why don't you on? So we'll see what they've got going. Over at Dvorak Uncensored, they've got a cool time-lapse video of the East Coast blizzard. Are you stuck in the snow? Do you not have to go to work tomorrow? Or are you watching the show? That was kind of cool. See, they got me going now. So anyway, they've got a time-lapse video here for you. I don't normally link over to Jake Lennington's website because he writes a lot of blog posts that are definitely targeted towards Google coming in, but he's got a best camcorder software for Windows 7. So I have this link up in the show notes. It's a variety of software you should check out if you've got a new computer. And also over on GigaOM, they've got an open thread on which is your take, what's better, the Apple TV, Roku, or Boxy Box. If you're watching me for the first time on the Roku or on the Boxy Box, what do you think? Send me an email. I know there's new people watching. I know you got one for Christmas. So geeknews@gmail.com. Make sure you add the channel. If you haven't done it already, if you're listening via audio, add the Tech Podcast channel. And I'm right there, right in the system. So you'll find me. Don't worry. Moving on. Free icon set for web developers. This is pretty good. This is over at Smashing Magazine. This article came up before Christmas. I have a link up in the show notes on that. Last couple articles here. Hey, if you are flying into or out of Canada, airborne internet nears in Canada. So Canada's license holder for air-to-ground in-flight entertainment as a mid-2011 launch date. So SkySurf Canada Communications is now targeting 2011, and they're going to be pushing airborne internet for you. And some cool Amazon Christmas stats. Kindle was the Kindle and the Kindle 3G were the best-selling products on Amazon. On Christmas Day, people purchased more Kindle books than on any other day in history. Top movie sales were Inception, The Blind Side, and Toy Story 3. Top health and personal care gadgets were Philips Norelco's men's shaving system. Why do people buy shavers for Christmas? Orman Digital Pocket Pedometer. I guess people are thinking about getting healthy. And Philips Sonic Care Essence Power Toothbrush. The last local express delivery order that was delivered in time for Christmas was placed by a Prime member and went to a Washington address. It was a Mac Mini. It was ordered on 1:41 p.m. on Christmas Eve and was delivered at 8:04 p.m. that evening. Wow, 7 hours later. How did they do that? And Tinkerbell and the Great Fairy Rescue, Toy Story DVDs, Chicken Soup, and The Dog Lover's Soul were all some of the big Canadian purchases as well. Okay, actually, were some of the... What does it say? Oh, no. These were some of the best movies that were bought. Not Canada. I was reading towards the end of the article. So anyway, that's it for articles tonight. And let me move into... What do we got for email here for you? If you have comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Okay, got an email here from Tom. Hey, Todd, I love the show. I am new to the geek thing and got my son, okay, I got it for me, Roku, but can't find GNC. Pod Nuts Daily says, my hard drive die and some more, any help? Thanks, T. Thanks from Pembroke Pines, Florida. Okay, what you got to do is go to the channel store and go down to the podcast section and look for the Tech Podcast channel. Add it and you'll get it. Or add the Blueberry app in the same section. So you got to scroll down in the channel store. You'll find it. Got an email here from... who else? Oh, I got one here from Trucker Tom. He says, ban on birth photos irks Western Maryland's mom-to-be. This is a link on WTOP.com. So I have that link up in the show notes. Let me see what this is about. I haven't read this. Lori Schiefer, pregnant with her eighth child, assumed that her family friend would again be able to film giving birth, but officials said no. On November 1st, Meredith Medical Center planned a policy prohibiting video film and still photography of deliveries until 5 minutes after birth. What? The change is intended to protect patient privacy and reduce potential staff distractions. You know what this is. This is all about lawsuits. Give me a break. They say I want the doctors to focus on the delivery, not focus on the videotaping. Get your cameras out. Take your kid's birth if you want. Don't go to that hospital. Ridiculous. Another article, Trucker Tom sent me, ceiling lights in Minnesota send coded internet data. Flickering ceiling lights are usually a nuisance, but in city offices in St. Cloud, they will actually be a pathway to the internet. Lights will transmit data to specifically equipped computers on desks below by flickering faster than I can see. Ultimately, the technique could be used wireless congestion by opening up new expressways for short-range communication. What does it say? How fast is it? 3 megs per second. Not bad. But why not just cable up? I don't get it. But I guess maybe this is for places where they have a hard time cabling them up. Pretty cool stuff. All right. Thanks for Trucker Tom sending that. And is that it? Oh, got an email here from Kimberly. She says, hey, Todd, my dad loves your podcast. He asked me to email you to tell you that he just cut the cord on his BlackBerry. He loves your show. Keep up the good work. Huh. All right, Kimberly. And what's dad's name? You don't say. Okay, Dad, why did you cut the cord to your BlackBerry? What are you... Are you cutting your mobile device completely? Are you going to an iPhone? Or are you just going back to landline? How are you going to listen to me on the BlackBerry? You know I'm on the podcast directory on your BlackBerry. So how can you cut the cord? That thing's not got a cord anyway. Please follow up. I want to hear more. Tell me the crux of the story. Is anybody else going to cut the cord with me on January 1st to your television services? If you are, come on, it's time to get on now. Geeknews@gmail.com. So far, no one says they're going to cut the cord. Come on, join me, cut the cord. All you got to do is order a Roku, and, you know, we can get some, television stuff through Hulu or Hulu Plus, and you use Windows Media Center if you got a Windows machine or your Apple TV. So who's going to cut the cord with me? Let me know. All right, that's it. Next show will be my year-end wrap-up show. We want to thank our sponsors here from... Oh, wrong camera. Did this last show. I want to thank our producers here, or thank our sponsors here, GoDaddy.com, all the great promo codes at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank Audible for being a sponsor for our CES coverage, audiblepodcast.com/CES for your free trial. And, of course, Luxor Las Vegas. Get to the point. Head out to Vegas. Stay at the Luxor Hotel. Do me a favor. Tell them you're coming because they supported the Geek News Central podcast and the TPN team coming to Vegas. That's really important. We want hotels and stuff to continue to do this because they save us a lot of money and allow us to do this stuff. Basically, it really helped. It really did. You guys have no idea how many thousands of dollars we've saved because they came on as a sponsor. So stay at the Luxor. You know, even if you're used to staying at somewhere else down the strip, stay at the Luxor next visit. Get it booked today, okay? Do me a favor. I'd appreciate it. It helps the show and helps all our team members at TPN as well. And thank them. You know, when you check in, make sure you thank the staff. Let them know. All right, that's it. You guys excited? Finally, CES is just about here and you don't have to hear me talking about it no more. We're actually going to be doing something. I'm excited. I am. I really am. And, long as the health stays good and, boy, can't wait. And next show, gear's going to be gone. It's just going to be me and you and maybe a webcam, maybe not, maybe just audio program. That's okay. So, we'll be live. no matter what. So thanks for being with me and staying subscribed. For those of you that are new, thanks for being here. Subscribe. Get that newsletter. Get yourself subscribed to a feed so that you never miss an episode of this show. I know we're going to have thousands of new listeners to the show because you all got brand new shiny devices where you can consume this content. And if you left an event where someone got a cool new device and you didn't tell them about the show, send them an email today and say, hey, you got to check out Todd's show. Get him subscribed. And some will come and like it. Some won't. Yeah, but the main thing is that you told them. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.